Well, if you have your Bible with you, please open and turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. We're working our way through the book, and I have really been enjoying it. It is one of my favorite books in the Bible. And Philippians chapter 4, this week we are covering verse 5, and then we're looking at the idea of gentleness, And we'll also be looking at a couple of other passages in the Bible to kind of elaborate on this idea of gentleness. But let's just pray and ask for God's guidance. And just pray with me if you would. You know, ask the Lord, because there's some things I don't know about your situation and probably things I would never know to say to encourage you. But just ask our Heavenly Father to speak directly to your heart and to your situation, and meet whatever needs are there. Great God, we do thank you for your amazing love for us. Sometimes I don't even know that I understand it. Just why you would love someone like me, just an ordinary, broken person. But I thank you, Lord, that in your infinite love, the Bible says that you do. And so we do call on your name right now. We ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts and meet needs. Lord, I pray for each person here, whatever the need, hurt may be, Lord, that you would speak into their life. And Lord, maybe they're just filled with joy, with your joy. And I pray, Lord, that you will just continue to guide and touch each of us, whatever place we are in. And we thank you, Father, for this book, the Bible. And pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So read with me, Philippians 4, verse 5. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. I'll read it again. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. So we're going through the book of Philippians. We're talking about how should we live in this broken, hurting world. And according to this verse, one of the things, ways that we should be living is by having a gentle spirit. Now, there's a lot in this verse. It's just really interesting to me. It seems to be saying, when someone thinks about you, when someone thinks about me, maybe, you know, you're just there off at the store or wherever, and you come to mind, what do they think of? Does gentleness come to mind? When they think of me, does gentleness come to mind when they think of you? Because that seems to be part of the idea here. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. All men. That's amazing. I mean, it almost seems like it continues Jesus' thought. Remember, Jesus said, love your enemies. Well, maybe even our enemies should see us as being gentle people. Just fascinating. And then he ends the verse with the words, the Lord is near. Thinking, wow, why did he say that? Why did he connect the Lord being near specifically with gentleness? Maybe it's because the Lord's watching. You know, if the Lord returns, would I want him to see me being gentle? Yes. Right? Rather than, you know, mad at somebody or something like that. If he returns, boy, sure I'd want him to see me being gentle. And I think the idea could also be, well, he's right beside me. He's right with me. He's right with you. He'll help you in being gentle. So there's just a lot in this verse. But I want us to look at some motivations to it, some ideas about it. So just think about a couple of things with me this morning. The first one is that Jesus Christ was gentle. Jesus was gentle. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11. For some people, these are favorite verses, and they are so encouraging. Matthew chapter 11, the very first book in your New Testament. And we're just going to read the very end of the chapter. Start in verse 28. Jesus is speaking, and he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What an invitation, right? Sometimes we're in life, and man, life's tough. And he says, listen, if you're weary, if you're tired, if you have been overworked and underpaid, come to me. I will give you rest. But then, it's interesting, he says, take my yoke upon you. Now, a yoke is something that we talked about just a week or two ago, but it's you put it on a horse so they can pull a plow or some other load. Interesting, he says, I'll give you rest, but then he said, take my yoke upon you. Why? He goes on to say, for I am gentle. There's our word for the day. Jesus says, I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. You know, a lot of what I see in these verses is that as we're in that yoke, we are beside the Lord Jesus, and he's doing most of the work. You know, he's pulling the heavy load, and we're just working alongside him. But he goes on to say in verse 30, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And you know, that's so encouraging to think about, because often the world's yoke is easy and is not very easy. And the world's burden is not very light. They have very unrealistic expectations that, you know, our world is just kind of broken that way. And sometimes even our own expectations of ourselves are not very easy and not very light, right? It's easy for us to beat ourselves up and think, you know, there's all these problems with us. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's very humble. He's very gentle. Turn to the next chapter and look at these verses. This is also about him. Matthew 12, we'll just start in verse, let's start in verse 15. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. What had happened was the Jewish leaders were starting to disagree with things that he said, and so they were starting to conspire against him, and so Jesus just moved on to the next city and started teaching over there. So he withdrew from there. Many followed him, and he healed them all and warned them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, and here we have a quote from the Old Testament, book of Isaiah, about the Messiah, about Jesus. Check it out, verse 18. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. This is God the Father talking about his Son. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. Now look especially at the next two verses. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. Think especially about, let's start with verse 20. A battered reed he will not break. It's talking about a blade of grass, you know, a reed like a stalk of wheat or something. A battered reed. So let's say a deer is out grazing and they go to bite down on a blade of grass and they get frightened. And so before they actually tear it off, they run. So it, you know, it's already damaged. This verse is saying that Jesus is so gentle that when he goes by, he won't break that blade of grass. Continues the thought in the very next part of the verse. It says, a smoldering wick he will not put out. So let's say you've got a candle, it's been burning all day, someone comes along and blows it out, and so the smoke is rising and the little red glow is left on the tip. Jesus is so gentle that he will not put that out. He's just gentle. Even if you go to the verse before it, he will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. I mean, think about, we just read how the Jewish leadership was beginning to gather against him and get the forces together. He didn't stay there and fight with them, right? Went on to the next town and started teaching over here. Jesus is not an arrogant guy. He's not a mean guy. He's not going to force anyone on anything. Into anything. But he spoke the truth. So interesting that this guy is so gentle, healing the crowds, meeting every need he could find, literally now has changed the world, right? I mean, I love that poem, One Solitary Life. You know, it talks about how Jesus never left Israel. I mean, it's this tiny, tiny little country, and he never did any of the things that accompany greatness, and yet he's changed the world. Right now in our world, somewhere between 1/4 and 1/3 of the entire world's population claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. Just this gentle guy who spoke the truth. And see, I believe that he's calling us to that same thing. We're to be gentle. We're to be kind as we speak the truth. We have to do both, right? He's called us to be his witnesses. He said, you know, go and tell the world, let your light shine before the world. But we're to do it in such a gentle, kind fashion. The next thing I'd like you to think about is that Paul was gentle after he became a Christian. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's one of the little letters that Paul wrote over in the middle of your New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, of course, you know, before Paul became Paul, he was called Saul, and he was not necessarily a very gentle person. He was advancing to the top of his career like lightning, faster than all of his contemporaries. And he just didn't seem to matter what it took for him to get there. He was going to get there. And at the stoning of Stephen, Paul was standing there collecting people's coats, saying, yeah, you guys go get him, as they're taking rocks and throwing them at this Christian man until they put him to death. Paul's in hearty agreement. From there, he begins going out himself to different places, and they're dragging Christians off to prosecute them, take away their homes, put them in prison, some of them even put to death. He was not a gentle person before, but wow, what a change in this man. Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonians. Hope you're in 1 Thess chapter 2. Start with me in verse 5. Paul's writing, he says, "For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority." Stop there for just a second. What Paul's doing is he's reminding the Thessalonians of what he was like when he was there with them. Okay? We didn't come with greed. We didn't come to assert our authority, that kind of thing. So think about it for a minute. He has to be speaking the truth to them here, because if not, they know it. Right? He's reminding them of what he was like. And they were there. You know, it's kind of like if you were here last Sunday, and I were to come in this morning and say, "You remember last Sunday when I was dancing on the stage up there, and I jumped off of that thing, and I grabbed Pat's guitar?" And you'd be saying, "Sam's lost his mind. That never happened." And that's what's going on here. Paul's reminding them of what he was like when he was with them. And look at the next verse, verse 7. "But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us." So how is this going to be in any way effective for Paul? Only if it's true, right? He's reminding them of their time together, and they're going to be going, "Oh yeah, that's right. That's how those guys acted. Man, I want to be more like that." Paul was gentle. Turn to another passage. This is about him as well. 2 Corinthians. Just a couple of books before Thessalonians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And look at verse 1. Paul's writing again, says, "Now I, Paul, myself, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." Okay, that's interesting, right? Here Paul's telling us about how Christ was meek and gentle. He says, "I, who am meek when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent. See, what was going on was some of the people were there were a lot of problems in the Corinthian church. And so they were making some complaints against Paul. And evidently, this was one of their ideas. One of their complaints was, well, when Paul's here, he's really meek and gentle. But then he scares us with his letters, right? Now, if you've read his letters, I think it'd be pretty hard to be scared by them. He was definitely willing to deal with the problems, but he's doing his best to do it in a gentle fashion. But even in their accusations against Paul, they admit that when he was with them, he was meek. He was a gentle guy. And I believe God is calling us to be gentle as well. I do think it's interesting how the transformation came into Paul's life. And it reminds me of something my dad said all the time. And if you've been here, I've probably quoted this quite a few times, so you might even be able to finish the quote for me. But my dad often told me, he said, Sam, when someone truly becomes a Christian, the first ones to find out are his dog and his horse. They're the first ones to find out when someone truly becomes a Christian. See, he was a farmer his whole life, and when he was a young man, they used horses still to plow the fields. And so it's a transformation, Dad is saying, that takes place in here. So your dog knows, your horse knows, is what he was saying. And that's what happened to Paul, I believe. Another thing we should, I think, notice and talk about this morning, not only was Christ gentle, Paul was gentle after he became a Christian, but wisdom is gentle. Wisdom is gentle. Turn with me to James chapter 3, right after the book of Hebrews, there in your New Testament, James chapter 3. All right, James 3, start in verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Isn't that interesting? Wisdom is gentle. In the next verse, he goes on to talk about the wrong kind of wisdom. Verse 14, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it's earthly, natural, demonic. So those things are bad. Okay, selfish ambition, jealousy, those kinds of things. The next verse, verse 16, goes on to say that they bring disorder and every evil thing. Okay, that's not the kind of wisdom God wants us to have. Verse 17, though, he reiterates, and this is so cool. Look at verse 17. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Whoa. What if something to aspire to be? You know, I want to be that person. There's so many things there. There's a good homework assignment for you. Go home, take all those pieces of wisdom and look them up and think about them. Man, am I like that? But of course, notice what we're talking about this morning. Part of wisdom here is gentleness. It's gentleness. I read a story about this family, mom and her kids. They went to a school fair, and the kids won 3 goldfish. And so mom's like, oh, great. Okay, I guess I have to do my part. So she heads off to the thrift store to find a goldfish tank. She's looking all over the place. You know, they're all too much money. And then finally, over in the corner, she sees this one 10-gallon goldfish tank, $5. She's like, yes. So she takes it home. Looks a little dingy. So she says, all right, I want to take really good care of these goldfish. So she cleans it all out. Takes the rocks out, cleans them all up, soap and water. Does a great job. I mean, this thing is pristine. And they put the goldfish in. Well, by that night, one of them has gone belly up. Dead. The next morning, number 2 dies. And by the next evening, the third one is also dead. And so they go and they start talking to the pet store owner. What happened? What did you do? You know, it ends up, she should have never used soap on this fish tank. And it just reminds me of the whole idea of gentleness. You know, sometimes we're trying to, oh, I'm going to help you clean up your life. And sometimes some of our methods are a little bit too abrasive. You know, it's the soap is a little too strong in the way we're trying to help one another clean up lives sometimes. Even in cleaning up my own life, I think sometimes we can be too rough on ourselves. And we just need to learn, grow in this area of gentleness. Proverbs 15:1, I'll just read you that. You're welcome to turn there if you want to, but it also reaffirms the idea about wisdom. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up strife. I remember I was a teenager and hadn't had my driving license too long, and I was coming down the hill and going around, getting ready to go around this corner, and I forget what exactly I was looking at, but I looked down at something, and I totally got over into the middle of the road, and this other guy's coming around the corner, and so he like hits the ditch, and he whipped that car right around and came behind me and got out of his car, and he was hot. I mean, he gave me a speech, and you know, his face was red, and he was right. It was my fault. If it hadn't have been for him being alert, we would have had a bad accident. But I didn't know what to do. And so I'm like, well, sir, you're absolutely right. I am so sorry. And I could see the red, you know, start to come down a bit. And so he gave me speech number two. And I'm like, yes, sir, I am so sorry. Is everything okay? And so, you know, he wasn't happy with me by the end, okay, but the anger was gone. And a gentle answer turns away wrath. You know, how helpful it can be. One last thing I'd like you to think about. Not only is Christ, we saw that Christ was gentle, we saw that Paul was gentle, we saw that wisdom is gentle, but remember also, gentleness is one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. We'll start in verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. If you do these things, no one's going to come and tell you about laws that you're breaking, right? There's no law against them. Gentleness. What do we mean by a fruit of the Spirit? It means that if you have genuinely become a Christian and the Lord is living in your heart, this is the kind of thing that He's going to be guiding you into. You know, as He's saying, hey, Sam, why don't we do this today? Hey, Christy, why don't we do this today? One of those things is going to be gentleness. He's going to guide us in gentleness, and He's going to help us. He's going to give us what it takes to be gentle. I want to read you a couple of quotes. And I just really enjoyed these. One of them has to do with the idea that strong things are gentle. You know, God is gentle. But let me just read you these. I choose gentleness. Nothing is won by force. I choose to be gentle. If I raise my voice, may it be only in praise. Excuse me. If I clench my fist, may it be only in prayer. If I make a demand, may it be only of myself. was Max Lucado. This one I also enjoyed. It's the hard things that break, soft things don't break. It was an epiphany I had today, and I just wonder why it took me so very, very long to see. You can waste so many years of your life trying to become something hard in order not to break. But it's the soft things that can't break. The hard things are the ones that shatter into a million pieces. Very true, right? Here's another. I learned that it is the weak who are cruel, and that gentleness is to be expected only from the strong. And so that's why it would make sense that our God, our great God, is gentle. All right, and here's one more I'd like to read you that I thought was really interesting. Gentleness is not apathy, but it is an aggressive expression of how we view people. We see people as so valuable that we deal with them in gentleness, fearing the slightest damage to one for whom Christ died. To be apathetic is to turn people over to mean and destructive elements, right? We just ignore their needs. To truly love people causes us to be aggressively gentle. I love that. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for you and for the great God, the incredible God that you are. We just thank you, Lord, for this idea, this reality that you are gentle and that you promote gentleness, that wisdom is gentle, and that you want us to be the same. And so we do pray, Father, that you'll just do your perfect work in our hearts, Lord. Do these things that are difficult for us, that we may have bad habits in, and Lord, break through in our lives and just help us be gentle people. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.